Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, January 29th. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital. From primary care to cardiac rehabilitation, building a comprehensive heart health program for the greater Saratoga community, saratogahospital.org. Joining us this afternoon from Medical Monday is Dr. Laura Scordino of Ortho New York and Ellis Medicine. She's here to answer your questions about hand, elbow, and shoulder injuries. We always get a lot of calls, especially about hand, elbow, and shoulder injuries. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Scordino, your calls, and much more all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. You have a second to call in, 1-800-323-9262, and make a contribution. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us on this Medical Monday is a great favorite here to discuss orthopedics is Dr. Laura Scordino. She's the only female orthopod in the Capital Region. That's extraordinary. And she's of Ortho New York and Ellis Medicine. She's board-certified in orthopedics. She specializes in hand, get this now, hand, shoulder, and upper extremity surgery. Dr. Scordino has a particular interest in the treatment of tendon, nerve, and arthritic conditions of the hand and wrist. She graduated from the Upstate Medical University in Syracuse and completed her orthopedic surgery residency at the University of Connecticut. Dr. Scordino also has experience caring for athletes at UConn and Syracuse University and was a Division I basketball player herself. I was just talking about a basketball player. Dr. Scordino, welcome back to Medical Monday. This is your third time. You may be leading right now.
This is great. Thanks for having me, Al.
Okay. The number to call, everybody, if you've got a question you want to ask, is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can post comments at facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Vox Pop. But the best way to do it, if you're going to do it, other than by calling that 1-800-348-2551 number, is to email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So, ladies and gentlemen, your elbow. So, Dr. Scordino, what is a tennis elbow?
That's a good question. Tennis elbow is it's a thing we see quite commonly. You don't have to play tennis to get it. What it usually involves is pain over the outside of the arm, right over the edge of the elbow. And it usually is not necessarily associated with a specific injury or a certain motion that people are doing. Sometimes people in the fall get it when they're raking a lot of leaves. People can get it when they're playing tennis, but it's a lot of pain over the out of the outside of the elbow.
And so it's nerve? Is it nerve?
No, it's actually a tendonitis. It's called tendonitis, but we really think as people have been studying it more and more recently, they've seen that maybe it's not as much inflammation as much as a wear and tear where the tendons actually insert onto the bone. So it's more of a problem with the tendons.
And for those of us who have experienced shoulder problems in our lives, what's the number one shoulder issue? Overuse, overstretching?
Sure, overuse. So similar to tennis elbow, one of the most common things that we see is bursitis, which is an inflammation. I kind of describe it to people as it's the area around the rotator cuff that gets inflamed. And so it's not necessarily a tear of the rotator cuff, but it's an inflammation in what's called the bursa, which is a fluid-filled sac that provides a little cushion between the rotator cuff and the bone right over it.
So can you tell, what's the definitive way of telling if somebody does have a rotator cuff injury itself? Do you have to go in each time to see?
No, usually the best test to get is an MRI.
Yeah.
And that's a non-invasive test that we can get, and it looks at the soft tissue structures, the rotator cuff, as they insert onto the bone. The x-rays give us a good picture of the bone, but the MRI really shows us the soft tissues.
Yeah. And how much is being done, what do they call that now, externally? In other words, minimally invasively?
Sure. So there's arthroscopic surgery for the rotator cuff repair, and many times that is how we fix the rotator cuff. Sometimes, you know, the tear doesn't come together well arthroscopically, or you're not happy with it, and so then you do what's called a mini open procedure. But probably the vast majority of the times we do it arthroscopically. There's been a number of studies looking at the outcomes arthroscopically versus what's called the mini open, and the long-term results are the same. But yeah, the majority of the times we are doing it arthroscopically, which involves some smaller incisions and putting the camera in there.
And how do you know what to do? In other words, do you study before each procedure? Do you stay up late at night saying... This is what, or do you just say, I've done this before?
So that's a good question. I mean, you know, certainly there's a long time of training leading up to when you're kind of in practice on your own. And so at this point, there's not as much late night studying in preparation. But before a day of surgery, usually I'm looking through the notes and making sure that I'm, you know, kind of on the same page and reviewing the MRI scans and everything like that before you're getting to the operating room. Of course, every once in a while, you have that case that you haven't done in a while, or you know, you don't do with the same regularity, and so then sometimes you do review your notes on those type of surgeries.
Are you ready for a caller?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Oh boy. We'll go to Ann in Albany. Okay, Ann, you're on.
Oh, hello. Thank you for your time. Doctor, I accidentally, of course, slammed my hand in the French doors, and it was hard. I moved it right away and ran it under cold water. No problem. I don't think it was broke because I was moving my fingers. But I did have swelling the size of a 50-cent piece in the top part of my arm by the pointer finger and the thumb. Now, that did go away about 2 hours later, but my question is, could have I hurt any of the veins in the arm?
When did this happen?
About a week ago.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, when you have a...
I never had swelling the size of a 50-cent piece right there in that area.
Sure.
But, you know, if it hurt or if I had pain or couldn't move it, I definitely would have went emergency room, but I'm asking you now because I'm hearing the program.
Sure. Yeah, you know, you definitely could have hurt one of the veins, and that could have led to some of the swelling. You know, in terms of if you broke it or not, then probably the best move is to get an x-ray. But anytime somebody has a slam or a crush type injury, then just like, you know, the bone can get injured, all the soft tissues around the bone can get injured. Mm-hmm. But when you have a very localized area of swelling like that, then it could have been a vein that was injured. But the good thing is that, you know, veins like that usually just kind of heals on its own without having to do anything about it.
Yeah, sounds like you're going
well,
good.
Well, that's what I thought. If there was problem, would have it not went, the swelling would have stayed, right?
Usually, yeah, and then you'd have some more difficulties or pain with motion.
Okay, Ann, thank you. All right, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we go now to Christine in Williamsburg. Christine, you're on.
Hi there. I have arthritis in both of my wrists, more so in the right than the left. And when I go to get up out of a chair, for instance, and put pressure on them, it's very painful. And I'm wondering if there's any medication or anything else that can happen to help me. I cannot take Celebrex anymore because I'm on Plavix.
Yeah, so arthritis is tough because there's no way to necessarily reverse what's going on. So first of all, arthritis is a common problem, and that's the wearing down of the cartilage. The cartilage is the smooth surface of a bone. And so when that gets worn out, then that's what arthritis is. So the thing about arthritis is there's no way to necessarily reverse it, and so it's a kind of a problem of trying to figure out how to manage that going forward. And so, you know, there are a number of different things. You can even start out with something simple like either using heat or ice. And everybody's a little bit different on that. You know, some patients love heat and some people say it doesn't work for them at all. And ice is the only option for them. In terms of medications, it is a little bit harder when people are on blood thinners because then that kind of limits the amount of anti-inflammatories you can take. And so then that kind of leads into the question of ibuprofen versus Tylenol. And Tylenol is a good pain reliever that you don't have to worry about the blood thinners, whereas ibuprofen and Aleve and those type of medications are the ones that you have to be careful about with Plavix and other blood thinners.
Well, I mean, in my old age, so many people have told me, so many docs over the years, take the Tylenol, don't take the, you know, the ibuprofen. But almost everybody I talk to says the Tylenol doesn't work.
Right.
And the ibuprofen does.
So Tylenol, I think, is a good kind of general pain reliever, but we think that it has a little bit less side effects in terms of ulcers and kidney problems and things like that. But if you have those flare-ups, and that's what arthritis is kind of known for, is having these times when maybe you just tweak it the right way and it just sets it off and it really flares it up, then I think, you know, depending on exactly what medications you're on, taking a few days of the anti-inflammatories, settling it back down, and then getting back to the Tylenol.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, okay?
Sounds
and then
good.
We'll come
Thank
right
you.
Back.
Support for WAMC comes from Vascular Health Partners, Doctors Manish Mehta, Philip Patty, and Zachary Castan, offering personal, comprehensive, minimally invasive endovascular and vascular surgical care in three locations, Latham, Amsterdam, and Queensbury. VascularHealthPartners.com. Nathan Litauer Hospital, Gloversville, New York, announcing new primary care center on Main Street, Fonda, now open, NLH.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repairs, including tire pressure, exhaust, brakes, and checking engine lights, full-service gas station, collegestreetmotors.com. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs and 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. And from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
And we are back with Dr. Laura Scordino. As you can hear, she's a real pro. You know, she has great things to say about her specialties. Okay, so let's go to, let's see here. Oh, yeah, to Robert in Schenectady. Robert in Schenectady, your turn.
Hi, how you doing, Alan and Dr. Scordino? I have a quick question for you. It's pertaining to my wrist. You actually did surgery on my wrist. I had a broken left wrist about a year and a half ago, and I want to say you did an excellent job because my wrist has full motion once again, and I'm lifting weights. I can do push-ups and all that good stuff that I used to do.
Great.
My quick question is, though, do I have to worry about arthritis down the line? Is that going to be an issue for me as I get older? I'm 45 right now. And like I said, you did surgery about a year and a half ago. Is arthritis going to be an issue?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, part of the reason why we do the surgery is to align things and to try to get things into a better position so that it cuts down the risk of arthritis in the future. So, you know, I pretty much always tell people if you've had a broken bone or a break into a joint, things are never going to be completely normal, but we try to get you as functional as we can. And it sounds like, you know, you're back to doing most of the stuff that you want to do, which is the goal. Do you have to worry about arthritis? A little bit. You know, you're going to be at a little bit higher than a risk than somebody who didn't break their wrist. But the whole point of surgery is to try to get things lined up again and cut down that risk in the future.
So anything coming in arthritis that we can look forward to? In other words, you said when the when the polish wears off of the bone,
sure.
Maybe some point we'll be able to put the polish back on.
Sure. You know, these are definitely questions that people are looking into. People are looking into stem cells and, the cells in the body that have the potential to really kind of grow into a number of different things, including potentially cartilage. But I don't think that science is quite there yet. But, it's definitely something that in the future I think that a lot of people are looking into.
Robert, thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and over to Jean in Cornwall. Okay, Jean, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. About 2015, I had a non-displaced waist fracture in my right scaphoid, and it's just, in the last year or so, it hurts a lot, and I'm wondering how normal that is. But also, when I was a child, I had a ganglion cyst on that wrist, and it went away forever ago, but it seems to have come back, and I'm wondering if that could at all be connected to the surgery.
This is all very complicated for the lay listener. So, Doc, would you sort of tell us what's up here?
Sure. So it sounds like you had a fracture in the scaphoid. Correct.
And the scaphoid is the
scaphoid is a small bone in the wrist.
Okay.
And it's one of the most commonly broken bones in the wrist. But what is tricky about it is that it doesn't have very good blood supply.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one that can either not heal or you have to be in a cast for a longer period of time. So it's one that we're always a little bit careful with. So it sounds like you had that fracture and you had it fixed with a screw.
Yeah, they did open reduction internal fixation. So,
okay.
And then I was still in a cast for a little while.
Open reduction internal fixation. Wow.
I like to do my research when somebody's gotten into me.
Okay, go ahead.
Sure. So so open reduction internal fixation is more or less that surgery was done, making an incision and then getting things lined up and then putting the screw in there. So, I mean, in terms of that's a tough fracture. And even when that heals perfectly, usually people have some degree of a loss of motion and some degree of, pain on and off in the future. But, is that related to a ganglion cyst or not? That's hard for me to say.
Well, let's go back there. What's the ganglion cyst? What's that one?
Sure. So ganglion cyst. That's a bump on the wrist. The most common spot is over the backside of the wrist. People say, you may have heard people say, oh, you hit that with a Bible. And that's the kind of the common thing that you hear people say. But is that related to the surgery from the scaphoid? I'm not necessarily sure. It's definitely in the same region, but it's probably not related. It's a very common problem, that ganglion cyst, and it could just be that it went away for a while and then it's recurred.
Thanks, Jean. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. I'm trying to get to everybody. Somebody's going to call me up afterwards and say, I wasn't really done yet. I'm sorry, because I wanted to get to everybody. That's the important thing here. Let's go to Howard in Northampton. Okay, Howard, you're on. Howard.
Well, hello. Oh. Oddly enough, I saw an orthopod this morning for a shoulder. They took films and found that I had no cartilage left. Basically, he said if it wasn't bothering me too much, just to live with it. But the only treatment he suggested was a replacement. Are there any other options?
Sure.
Well, Doc, bring us back here and tell us what's up.
Sure.
What this is all about.
So arthritis, as we said, is the wearing down of the cartilage, and the cartilage is the smooth surface over the joint.
And where was this?
This was in the shoulder.
In the shoulder.
Yeah. And so arthritis you can get anywhere, but it's a common spot is in the shoulder, and the best way to diagnose that is with x-rays. So it sounds like they were, on the right track with that. In terms of the recommendations about, if it's not bothering you that much, then live with it, I think that that's absolutely the right way to think about it. You don't really want to rush into a shoulder surgery if you don't need it, just like a hip replacement or a knee replacement. A shoulder replacement's a big surgery, but it can be very effective at eliminating pain. Not 100% eliminating, but helping pain substantially if it comes to that. And so short of surgery, you do want to try the different conservative measures. So sometimes we do steroid injections, and the idea there is to try to take down some of the inflammation and help with some of the pain.
Do they work? I mean, I've had them, and,
sure.
Number one always works. Number two, not so much. And number three, forget about it.
Sure. So that is kind of what can happen, you know, is that the more that you get the steroid injections, they can become ineffective. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do have some patients who every 3 to 4 months come back and
really?
We do an injection and they last for 3 or 4 months. But usually in time, they start to wear down.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do them more than every 3 to 4 months.
Now, you had a word there that I find very fascinating, replacement.
Sure.
When you say shoulder replacement, what do you mean? You go to the store and get another one, put it in there like in a car or
exactly.
whatever?
Exactly. It's just like that. That's why they call the orthopedics the carpenters. So so it's, you know, it's metal and plastic parts, just like a hip replacement or a knee replacement. And basically mm-hmm. you're taking out the arthritis part because we, you know, we don't have that science yet to replace the cartilage. And so you actually take out that part that's worn down and you put in a new, nice, smooth metal and plastic part, a new shoulder.
Now, are there any of these operations that you do in these various sites where you can't replace something?
You know, I primarily operate in the upper extremity. There are wrist replacements, but I do not do that surgery. I think mm-hmm. that's something that the technology is still really being worked out.
Are hands, I keep hearing that hands are the worst. Is that right? Hands are very difficult.
Well, hands are, there's a small area and there's a lot of anatomy there. So there's the different tendons, there's the nerves that, you know, and the joints are small and the bones are small. So it makes it a little bit more challenging to make sure that everything is working together in the right way so that the hand functions, you know, with small precision and still with strength that it needs to be.
And can you do as well up here as the big boys and girls do down in New York City, for example?
You mean in terms of if you have a tough problem getting
yeah,
it fixed well?
Yeah, you got a problem.
Sure.
You go to Dr. Scordino or you go to, you know, some guy down at one of those places on the east side.
Sure. I mean, I like to think so. And I think that most of my colleagues like to think so. I mean, in terms of a shoulder replacement or, you know, carpal tunnel surgery, the vast, sure. vast majority of the things that I can think of, yes, I think that you get very good care in the Capital Region. And you don't need to go to, you know, the specialist at HSS or something mm-hmm. like that in New York City. But, you know, I will tell you that I think that myself and other doctors in the area, if there does seem something that's a very unusual case and people do need help, that people, you know, have the knowledge to refer people.
Thank you, Howard. 1-800-348-2551. And now he's been waiting for a long time to Frank in Schenectady. Frank in Schenectady, you're on.
Hello there. First of all, thanks for AMC. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I've got kind of a funny question, and I'd like to know, Doctor, whether you've dealt with it before. I have osteoarthritis, and my mother had the same problem that I now have. I'm 70. My knuckles are quite swollen on my fingers, both hands, and it doesn't really restrict movement, but the problem I have is that I play piano, and I've reached the point where when I play a white key that's between two black keys, I play at the same time, because of my knuckles are so large, the black key, which, of course, I don't want to play when I'm just trying to play the white key. So my question is there anything that could be done to reduce the size of my knuckles, be it surgery or anything else? And the second part of that question is, if there is such a thing, is it considered elective and therefore it would probably be maybe out of my price range or not?
So that's a good question. You know, I get a lot of patients who come and have swelling about their knuckles and say, you know, oh, my parents had these knuckles that were really big and they were twisted and, you know, I don't want to get that. How do I prevent that? And, you know, it's a hard thing to prevent and it's a hard thing to treat, unfortunately. It's kind of one of those things with arthritis. What those bumps are is, you know, you hear people say the bone spurs or what we call the osteophytes, which is the buildup of bone that takes place when you have arthritis. So is there mm-hmm. a quick fix for it? Not necessarily. There certainly is not a non-surgical medical treatment that I'm aware of. In terms of surgery, I wouldn't really recommend surgery for you unless it was very, very painful for you. In terms of trying to just bring down the size, it's hard to it's hard to kind of guarantee that that's going to really make that much of a difference. And usually we try to not do surgery just for that reason.
So what
despite
is
it being a frustrating
So what is
problem.
The word osteo in this case, osteoarthritis mean?
Sure. Osteo is bone and then arthritis. So, you know, there's in terms of the different types of arthritis, there's osteoarthritis, there's rheumatoid arthritis, you know, and then there's other septic arthritis and things like that. But the main kind of wear and tear arthritis that people get is osteoarthritis.
So what? Oh, and Frank's other good part of his question is it genetic? I mean,
sure.
It is.
Yeah.
So
if
mama had it, it's good chance you're going to get it or could get it.
It's one of those things in medicine that we call multifactorial, which means a lot of things lead to it. And so some of it is hereditary and some of it may be, you know, the use of your hands that you've had throughout your life or injuries in the past.
It's a little bit humorous. I looked up this affliction and it's called Herbedon's node.
Yes. Yep.
Which one might think that might give you a little hint in terms of treatment or the etymology or the cause of it, but it's just a label, and that Herbedon was the first guy to label it. Now, have you heard of people getting surgery for such a thing?
You know, sometimes people do. I mean, I wouldn't really recommend it, to be honest with you, because what that would do is just take down the bone spurs, but then you'd still be left with the arthritis. So most likely they would come back.
Thank you, Frank. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. I want to warn you all. There are 10 lines. Nine of them are being used right now. We have a very popular guest, as I warned you in the beginning would be the case. Let's go to Danny in Beacon. Hi, Danny. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Doctor. How's it going?
Well, we're...
My question is related to the injections, HA versus some of the newer ones, like the fatty tissue, I guess, that they're doing, specifically a company called Lipogem. And I'm curious if you could give me some insight on a company like Euflexa with HA versus the brands like Lipogem.
Sure. Well, to tell you right off the bat, I am not that familiar with Lipogen, so I can't really weigh in on that much. As far as the hyaluronic acid, which is the HA that you're talking about, that's a visco supplementation. And the idea there, the first step of injections that you hear about is steroid injections, like a cortisone injection. And the idea there is to take down the inflammation. And the visco supplementation injections, or the hyaluronic acid, as you're saying, the idea there is to almost like provide some lubrication or to stimulate some of the cells, the synovial cells around the joint, just to provide a little bit better lining. You know, the results there in the shoulder and the upper extremity, there have been studies on that, and they're not really proven to be that effective. So most insurances don't cover hyaluronic acid or visco supplementation for the shoulder, and certainly not the newer medications that you're talking about. But I know in the knees, then people do those visco supplementations a little bit more often.
Well, thank you, Danny. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I want to try to get to as many people as we can. And over to Michelle in Newburgh. Michelle, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling actually because I'm an occupational therapist, and in response to an early caller who mentioned
Michelle, you're breaking up. I don't know why, but try to keep your mouth close to the microphone. Uh-oh, I think Michelle's gone. Sorry, Michelle. Maybe you can call back. All right, and she had been hanging on for 10 minutes, I could tell you that much, and that always makes me unhappy. We'll go to Mary in Valencia. Okay, Mary, you're on.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about joint replacement and the aftercare. I was advised by my orthopedic surgeon after joint replacement, a knee replacement, that I would need prophylactic before every visit to the dentist, I would have to take an antibiotic. Is that still the thinking? for joint replacement?
Sure. So that's a good question. So in terms of the prophylactic antibiotic, the plan there, or the thought there, means to take the antibiotics before the infection happens. And and so, as you know, with the joint replacement surgery, it's a very big surgery, and an infection in your body in general is a big deal. But when you have these joint replacements, if you have an infection, it becomes a huge deal. Many times you have to go back to the operating room, clean things out. Sometimes you have to take out the whole replacement and then go into surgery once again 3 months later and put in a new replacement again. So it's a huge, huge deal. So in terms of the recommendation for antibiotics before surgery, this is something that the orthopedic surgeons and the dentists have been working together with. And to be honest, the recommendation kind of goes back and forth. And I don't think that there's a clear right answer whether you should take the antibiotics or not. In my opinion, and what I tell my patients and what I tell some of my friends who are dentists who have asked me my opinion on it, is that I say to take the antibiotics. You know, if you have not had significant problems with antibiotics in the past, I think that the risk of getting a joint infection is significantly greater than taking the antibiotics before going to the dentist.
Okay, my question was because I'm allergic to certain antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a reaction to one that they put me on.
Sure.
And I had taken it in the past, no problem, but this last time I did have a reaction.
Yeah. So. Allergies are tough problems. You know, there are different options, and so there's, you know, two or three usually that we kind of have as backups if the standard antibiotic doesn't work for you.
Sorry, we got to go. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break. Short. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, an inpatient rehabilitation and wellness center providing healing focusing on the body, mind, and spirit for those with various forms of addictions. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. New York Oncology Hematology, offices in Albany, Amsterdam, Clifton Park, Hudson, Rexford, and Troy, with a team of 31 physicians. World-class cancer care close to home. NewYorkOncology.com. Windhorse Naturopathic Clinic, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering naturopathic medicine, oxidative medicine, colon hydrotherapy, and acupuncture, specializing in Lyme disease, now accepting new primary care patients. WindhorseNaturopathic.com. Belvedere Women's Center, caring for women and infants for over 80 years. Doctors and nurses providing health care for women of all ages, maternity and breast care, surgery and gynecologic care. ellismedicine.org/women. And from Bergeron Electrical Services for over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more, BergeronElectrical.net.
Hello, and we're back, and we have a lot of things that we have to talk about. You know, every line is busy, I have to tell you that, which means a lot of people are emailing us at voxpop@wmc.org, and we can't possibly get to everything, but we will try to move ahead and to go as fast as we possibly can. Here's an email. Hi, doctors. I had a severed radial nerve in my left wrist repaired in 2014. Now I have a neuroma in the same wrist, about an inch above where the original wound was, and I'm wondering if it's something that can be repaired, or shall I leave it alone?
Good question. Part of that really comes down to how much that's bothering her. So that person who emailed that in. So, I mean, basically, the radial nerve is the nerve on within the arm that controls some different functions within your wrist, allowing you to extend your fingers. And if that's cut, then usually we do repair that with surgery. If there's functional deficits that people have, the downside to any kind of a nerve injury is that you can develop what's called a neuroma, which is a painful bump in the nerve. And so there are different kinds of non-operative treatments that you can do for that. If those things are not working, then sometimes we do go in and resect that bump to try to help with the pain. So a lot of that comes down to pain. And I would try to not do surgery and settle that down, you know, if you can. And if it comes to it where it's just not getting better, then maybe surgery is something that you consider for that.
Marianne says, thanks, Dr. Scordino. I lost my balance and fell on my right hand. The pinky of that hand ended up perpendicular to the next finger. I'm trying to figure that one out myself here. And I strained it out with much pain. Whew. I iced it, but now 2 months later, it still hurts, and I can't get it to align with the finger next to it. Do you think it's a sprain, a break? I just don't want any more x-rays in my life at the time. Probably a mistake. Will time take care of it?
So in terms of it being perpendicular to the other finger, most times that's either from a fracture or a dislocation. Most times it's a dislocation where the joint pops out of place and things are no longer aligned. And so, you know, people on the basketball court or wherever can have these things and then put things back into place. But the thing is that you never really know, is it broken or not, unless you get an x-ray. So usually when people come in and they say, my finger was perpendicular to the other one, that's kind of a sign that there was a real injury. I mean, I'm not trying to, pick on this patient. But I think that if you're still having problems with it 2 months later, then I think it's probably worth coming in and getting things looked at. In terms of the concern of radiation, it's a concern. You know, you have to worry about how many x-rays you're getting and how many CT scans. But to be honest, the radiation of an x-ray is fairly low compared to many of the different things that we do in our lives. Flying on an airplane has radiation. You know, there's different radiations throughout just living. And so when you have a real injury, you know, like that, I think it's worth it just to get the x-ray and see what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. Good afternoon, doctor. I was diagnosed with ulnar nerve neuropathy almost 30 years ago. It's a result of the repetitive motion involved in electrical work. Nerve conduction tests have shown that the compression was in the elbow. A surgeon said that the nerve could be freed up or even relocated to the other side of the joint to eliminate the pinch point. Resistance of both options, I've been managing the problem to an extent with a splint worn at nighttime. Does the success of either surgical option become less likely if I continue to delay that decision? What are the risks of doing surgery and not doing surgery? Thanks very much.
So that's a good question. So, you know, a lot of people have heard of carpal tunnel, which is compression of the wrist, the nerve, the median nerve at the wrist. The second most common compressed nerve is called cubital tunnel, which is the ulnar nerve getting compressed at the elbow. So if you've had a nerve conduction test, which is the best way to diagnose this, and it does show that you do have cubital tunnel, then usually you start with non-operative treatments. And so that would be starting with bracing and splinting and different stretches to see if you can help settle things down. And the symptoms that people are usually having is numbness and tingling. So, you know, with that said, if you're still having problems despite the splinting and, you know, stretching and things like that, then you do consider doing surgery for it. And usually, you know, success rates for that is usually in the order of 80 to 90%. So it's usually a pretty successful surgery.
Well, let's go to Dave in Tallinn. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Hi, Alan and Doctor. Got a question regarding basal arthritis in the thumbs. I was diagnosed 2 years ago having it in both thumbs, and they recommended removing the joint. Is there any new technology rather than going that far?
Sure. You know, it sounds like a crazy procedure, and when I explain it to patients in the office, I can only imagine what people are thinking. So let me tell you. So basal joint arthritis is arthritis at the base of the thumb. It's one of the most common places that people get arthritis. It's a little bit more common in women than it is in men, but it's still a very, very common spot to get arthritis. So once you've kind of went through the non-operative treatments and you're at the surgical option, really that surgery that they recommended is the best option for you. And so what that involves is taking out that bone that is rubbing on the bones around it, causing the arthritis, and then the way that I do it is taking a tendon, an extra tendon in your wrist to kind of stabilize things. It's a surgery that's been done for 20 to 30 years with excellent results. So I think that if you're at the point of surgery, that's the surgery that that you know, should consider doing.
There's your answer, Dave from Tallinn. Thank you very much. And now we're going to go over to Chris in Colony, and he is on line number 8. All right, Chris in Colony, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I have arthritis and bursitis, and often I go to bed nightly and have pain. Sometimes I'll use an arthritis cream. But associated now with inflammation, I keep hearing that cancer is caused by inflammation. Is there a connection between arthritis and cancer?
That's a good question. If there is, there's not one that I know of. You know, in terms of inflammation and, you know, inflammation can be a source of pain. I think that cancer itself, though, is usually the reason that people get cancer is usually there is some kind of something that's wrong with a gene or something that is just off in one cell. And then that cell kind of keeps going and turns into cancer. But generally, no, arthritis does not lead into cancer. But, you know, if you have ongoing pain in a certain area, then you don't want to just chalk it up as arthritis. Then it may be worth looking into to make sure that it doesn't lead on to something else.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. And now on to Tim in Ballston Spa. Tim in Ballston Spa, your turn. Go ahead.
Yes, two questions. I have spinal stenosis, and I understand that somebody at Albany Medical Center a few years back developed some kind of prosthesis that they can insert to aid it, and it seems to have extremely good results, but it has maybe a week's recovery. Are you acquainted with anything like that? And what is for spinal stenosis now?
Sure. That's a good question. I am not familiar with that you're talking about.
Just threw the guy's card away a week ago.
Really?
I was going to mention a name. Well, we'll go on to the next thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Shoulder surgery. I understand that's tends to be a long, difficult recovery. Shoulder replacement?
Shoulder replacement. Yeah, usually I tell people it's about 3 to 6 months of recovery.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That's what I thought.
It's like a knee replacement or a hip replacement. It's a big, big recovery, but usually it helps with pain.
Yeah. What is your recommendation for spinal stenosis? Obviously, you'd have to look at an MRI first, but
sure. I mean, like many orthopedic problems, you know, it starts with conservative measures. So many times we start with therapy. If things are not getting better with therapy, sometimes a steroid injection may be beneficial for some patients. And then if things are not working, then sometimes people do decompression surgeries where they're taking, surgery to relieve some of that compression.
To say nothing of the gazillion, people out there who claim to have the answer to stenosis and
right.
charge you a lot of money for
sure.
it.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim. Okay. And I'll give you the number, but it won't help. So stop calling because we're out of time. I mean, no, we're not out of time. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now to Marta in Poughkeepsie, Po-Town. You're on, Marta.
Hello, Dr. Shartuck and the other doctor, too. Thanks for taking the call. I've heard and I've practiced ginger root concentrate every day, 3 tablespoons. I boil the root, about 3-inch peas, peel, chop, boil, and the steam is really intense. You've got to have a lid on the pot.
Okay.
And then when it cools down, Dr. Shartuck, it's anti-inflammatory and it rebuilds cartilage, which is why I called, because I heard the doctor say there's nothing in science that rebuilds cartilage.
Okay, great.
Ginger root does.
Okay, we'll mark it down. Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now we're going to, let's see here. Oh, here's somebody else. Carolyn in Lenox. Okay, Carolyn, you're on.
Hello, this is Carolyn, and thanks for taking my call. About a month ago, on my left arm near my elbow, on the bottom part of my arm, I got a bump the size of about of a quarter, and it hasn't gone away, and I had an ultrasound on it, and they say it might be like a lymph node, but I've been reading, and I was wondering what the difference between like a lymph node and a scarnoma would be, because it's like, it's not like the thing that you were talking about hitting it, the thing with the Bible. Not that. They said it might be an indication of secondary infection or something. And I just didn't know, like, how would I know if it's cancerous or not, or if it's lymphoma, scarnoma? Like, who would be the next type of doctor I'd see?
Sure. So, good question. I mean, as far as the lymph nodes, the lymph is a fluid in your body. When you have an infection, then the lymph node can get larger, and that can be a sign of an infection. As far as who's the next person to recommend, I guess I would probably recommend that you see your primary care doctor, and then they kind of refer you from there or image things further as necessary.
If they do a referral, what kind of doctor would I see? Because it's like on my arm, and it's it's semi-painful, but it's just kind of there. And I just don't know how you do. You do a biopsy? Do you, you know, what do you do to a bump on your arm?
Sure, it's a good question. I mean, you can get an MRI is another imaging test that I think is helpful with and without contrast, and that can kind of give us a better idea of exactly what the mass is. But certainly, a biopsy is an option for it.
Yeah, I just didn't know, like, if there was more of an indication between that scarnoma, which is cancerous, and a lymphoma that, or lymphoma, I guess it was, that is not. So, I just didn't know ultrasound could tell that.
Sure. And I'm not sure if you're saying lipoma. Lipoma is one of the most common masses in the
arm. That one.
Oh, okay. A lipoma is just a collection of fat, and that is one of the most common masses that anybody gets. And usually the recommendation for that is to just observe it, meaning watch it, and not do anything with it.
Carolyn, thank you. All right. Now on to, here's a good one who's been on for a long time, Kathy in Utica. Kathy in Utica, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I am a 72-year-old woman who had an evaluation of her shoulder, and my shoulder joint is shot. The surfaces are flat. There's no cartilage. I have some pain, but I can live with it. Well, should I go ahead and have shoulder joint replacement, or should I wait?
So that's the kind of a question that only you can answer, kind of deep down inside, knowing how bad is it and can you live with it or not. You know, one of the other things that I haven't been saying is that not only is there pain, but there's also motion and function. And so if your joint is completely worn, then sometimes people come in and they just have extremely limited motion. So they can hardly move their arm, they can't get dressed, they can, you know, they have difficulty raising their arm. They, you know, I've done a few shoulder replaces on people who couldn't get their hand up to use the computer and things like, you know, just day to day, it just very limiting. And so that's, you know, another consideration is your kind of daily function. Usually the indication for surgery for a joint replacement is pain. And so that's something that you really want to think about. And, you know, how painful is it for you? But sometimes the pain isn't that terrible, but you're just so limited because of the arthritis.
That's right.
And those are, you know, the kind of primary goal of a joint replacement surgery is to take down the pain. And the secondary goal is to try to get you better function.
Now, Kathy raises a very interesting issue, one which I'm perpetually concerned with, and that's age.
Mm-hmm.
She's 72, I'm 76. At what point do you say, okay, you know, I'm not going to have surgery, even though it's painful?
Sure. So, I mean, that, again, is something that, you know, you have to look at the physiology and the activities. And, you know, a 176-year-old or 72-year-old patient is different than another 72-year-old patient. And so, you know, there's been people in their 80s that I've taken care
Absolutely.
Of that are very active and very functional, living independently, and are just having a tremendous amount of pain. And who knows that, you know, some people live for another 10 years after that.
Sure. Thank you, Kathy. All right, and now on to, yes, that would be Phyllis in Rhinebeck. Phyllis in Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hello, Dr. Scordino. I'm also calling about the shoulder. Back in 2015, I had a tear in the supraspinatus tendon, which is one of the ones that goes up to the rotator cuff. And I did see, I had an MRI done, and that's how it was diagnosed. And I did see two orthopedic surgeons, including one at the hospital for special surgery, and both of them told me that the surgery itself would take like 20 minutes, but the recovery could take 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is that really the case? I mean, you're a third person. I'm wondering what the third opinion would be.
Yeah. I usually tell people that's going to be longer than 20 minutes, but I do agree with them on the on the length of recovery. You know, I think it's going to be a good, you know, 6 months is a reasonable thing to tell people. You know, if you do have a rotator cuff tear, you're in a sling for usually, you know, at least several weeks, if not more, closer to 4 to 6 weeks, and then there's a lot of therapy afterwards. So rotator cuff surgery is one of those surgeries that is painful and takes some time to get better from. It's another one where you don't really want to do the surgery unless you're having a fair amount of pain or a full thickness tear where things, you know, may continue to get worse if you don't do surgery. But I think the 6 months to a year comment is a very reasonable one until you get back to, you know, as much function as you're going to get out of it.
Thank you, Phyllis. You know, that's an interesting point. I had back surgery. And, you know, I'm still recovering from it several months later, 4 months later. People have to be prepared that this stuff is going to take a while to repair.
It really does.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go to Elise. Yeah, no, I'm so sorry. Elise will come next. Phil in Pittsfield. Okay, Phil, your turn. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling to ask the doctor to talk a little bit about steroid injections.
Well, she has today. She has several times
I'm
today.
Sorry?
She has, Phil, several times today talked about steroid injections. But go ahead. Yeah.
I started about a half an hour ago and missed it, apparently.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, I'd just like to get an opinion because I've had friends who've had it done, and sometimes it has to be done a second time because it missed the first time. Also, that it's very painful and that it's not necessarily effective. I'd just like to hear what the doctor's opinion is on steroid injections.
Sure. Part of the thing with steroid injections is what you're doing it for. And so if you're doing it for bursitis or impingement or an inflammation type thing, then that's where one in steroid injection may take care of it and get you back to your baseline. If it's more for an arthritis type of thing, then it may, you know, you may have repeated injections. So a lot of it is for the indication.
Okay, we are out of time. I am so sorry about that. My apologies to the following people, Bonnie and Elise and Barbara and Brian. They're all on the line, and we apologize. Okay, I want to thank our wonderful guest, Dr. Laura Scordino of Ortho New York and Ellis Medicine, for being with us today. Support for the Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to the wonderful Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones. Our producers, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. And remember, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 is the number. If you really like this program and you want to put something in the pot, do it now. Stay tuned now for a news update.